Welcome to the Wine It Up a Notch podcast, a podcast where we talk about wine, life, and everything in between. My name is Anshu, and I'm your host, and I'm thrilled that you've chosen to join me today. Thank you for doing so. Welcome to episode 12 of the podcast. Today, I am trying to hide from my office. I don't know if anybody else faces the same thing, but my office is a terrible mess. I don't even know where to start. I'd like to think that, you know, I'm a fairly neat and tidy person, but like everybody, you always end up with sort of an area where you throw all your junk, and it appears that my office has become that. Though it's filled with, not junk per se, important paperwork. There's mounds of it everywhere and electronic equipment that needs to be plugged in and things that need to be sorted. And I don't know, it's just very overwhelming. So I'm trying to figure out a plan of attack. How do I get this done? How do I get it cleaned? And then how do I keep it clean? Because I feel like I clean that office fairly often and it ends up in the same place. And the funny thing about working from home is that there really isn't that much separation between your work and your home life. It's not like when I used to work at the corporate world and I would leave the house in the morning, you know, attend to my office and then come back, and I had that sort of separation of mind. So if one thing was out of order or messy, I could work around it. Now it's just all lumped together. So, you know, the funny thing is the rest of the house, I've put effort into organizing it. I'd like to try to spend January decluttering and kind of getting things in order. But when I walk into my office, it almost seems to obliterate anything that I've done in the house, and vice versa. So if I invest the time into the office, then surely things around the house will slide. And as soon as I leave the office, everything in front of me will be messy again. Now, I've heard people, organizational experts, say that, you know, you should spend a couple minutes every day organizing, which I do. But the house is large and there's four of us plus a dog and things just seem to pile up. And I've also heard other people speak about the concept of a sanctuary, which, you know, I would consider, for example, my bedroom to be. We certainly have made investments to try to make our bedroom comfortable and to try to keep it neat and tidy. But I don't know, something about perhaps, you know, spending so much time in the home, it's hard to cordon off specific areas and consider them a sanctuary. So as I said, you know, this office, I'm not sure. I've got to get it clean somehow. I've got to get in there and you know, move some stuff around and just make it a little tidier. I've got this habit that I've got piles of stuff all around the area that you can see in a video call or a Zoom. So, you know, in a Zoom or a video recording or anything that I may be working on that's visual, it looks relatively organized, but as soon as I look to the left or right of my screen, I can personally see all the mess. And you know, that certainly contributes to a little bit of anxiety and disorder in my own mind. So I'm gonna have to figure that out. So that's my, you know, thing for today. I'm going into the weekend, so it gives me an opportunity perhaps to come up with a plan of attack. Probably what I need to do is just get rid of a bunch of stuff. I think, you know, the concept of decluttering is always the best one, where you look around and look at what you don't really need and get rid of that stuff. So maybe that's what I'll do. So today I wanted to talk a little bit about the wine that I tried this week for my Wine Wednesday pick. I've mentioned that every week I try to pick a wine that's readily available at the liquor stores here in Ontario, and I review the wine. And I talk about the wine on my social channels. So I talk about it on Instagram. And I also often try to do a blog post, which you can catch at my website, www.wineitupanotch.com. And I thought I would talk about this wine here today too, because it was a really interesting one and probably something that most people have not heard about. So with this wine, we are in Italy, which for most wine lovers is a sort of sacred spot for good wine. I recently read somebody saying, you know, that for them, France is the number one wine country in the world. And if they could only have wine from one country, it would absolutely be France and definitely not Italy. And I had to sort of pause and, you know, think about that and say, you know, it's a close race, but I would put Italy up there, and maybe Italy would be my first choice because there are just so many varieties of wines and varieties of grapes and winemaking styles that are available. And of course, the food is phenomenal, and often the wine matches the food of the area beautifully. So for me, Italy's right up there. So you'll certainly hear and see me talking about Italy quite a bit. And I do know my way around Italy. But this week, I got my hands on a wine that I've been wanting to try for a little while that I have not tried before. And I would hazard a guess that many people have not tried. And this wine is from the region of Campania, which is the southern part of Italy. So we're down into the heel and toe of the boot, so to speak, and it's more the toe side. This part of the country is where Naples is and where the Amalfi Coast is. It's stunningly beautiful. It also tends to be alongside three or four other regions, the more rural and less prosperous part of Italy. So while it's blessed with beautiful weather and, you know, sunny skies, warm weather, lots of ocean front and warm waters, the flip side of that is that it is more rural, less populous, and less prosperous. And maybe that's the reason that I haven't had this wine before. Although it is known on a world stage, it isn't, I would say, readily available in my part of the world. So the wine's name is Lacrima Christi del Vesuvio. And Lacrima Christi is actually the name of the appellation. Del Vesuvio means of Vesuvio. Vesuvio is another appellation within which Lacrima Christi exists. So the broader appellation, and it's one of many in Campania, is the Vesuvio DOC. And then certain wines that are made in a certain way, so using particular grapes, particular processing, ways of processing the wine, and they're from certain communes within the Vesuvio DOC, can take on the name of Lacrima Christi. So I've never had a Lacrima Christi del Vesuvio before, and I was super excited to get my hands on it. Let me tell you a little bit about this wine. So Lacrima Christi actually means tears of Christ in Latin, and there are some really amusing backstories around how this wine got its name, but the one I like the most is that God looked over the Gulf of Naples and saw a piece of land that Lucifer had stolen and cried, and God's tears ran onto Mount Vesuvius and led to the vines growing there. So that's why the wine is called Tears of Christ. Now there are other, perhaps more believable, if you would say, reasons for the name of the wine, but I like that one. It's quite poetic and colorful. So Lacrima Christi means Tears of Christ. Del Vesuvio means of Vesuvio. So it's the Lacrima Christi of the Vesuvio area. And Vesuvio is in reference to Mount Vesuvius, which is the only active volcano on the mainland of Europe. But its actual claim to fame is it's the volcano that erupted and covered Pompeii a long, long time ago. The last time this volcano erupted was in the 1940s. And I believe some people are forecasting that it, you know, is due for eruption again soon. Who knows what that means? But it is active. And so because this area is around the volcano itself, within the foothills, so to speak, the soil itself is quite volcanic and has that volcanic character. And you feel that in the wine. So let's talk a little bit about this wine. This wine is actually made by Mastro Bernardino. And Mastro Bernardino is the foremost winemaker and winemaking family in Campania and happens to be also one of the most successful in Italy. They're on to their 11th generation of winemakers right now. And they're really well known for the resurgence of indigenous varietals in the Campania area. They're also associated with the excavation efforts in Pompeii and in particular preserving or researching old viticultural methods, old ways of making wine at the time that Pompeii was a thriving city. So they're quite a prominent family and a very well-known producer. They have 11 estates across the country, mostly concentrated in and around Campania. And they produce several very interesting wines. This one is made of a varietal called Piedi Rosso, which is a indigenous varietal to the area. It's a red grape, and it's 100% Piedi Rosso. The wine itself has a really interesting character. So I had the 2020. So the one I'm holding right now and the one that I tried was the 2020 Mastro Bernardino Lacrima Christi del Vesuvio. And let me start with the retail price of this wine. So in Canada, it's about $23 a bottle, really quite reasonably priced, but not cheap. It's 12.5% alcohol, so it's not very high on the alcohol scale. But the wine itself does have a really interesting profile. And I think that's a combination of the grape and also the soils in which the grape is grown. very bright red color in the glass, on the nose, extremely bouqueted with red fruit, and earthy tones. And you can get that sense of a little bit of smokiness, which I would attribute to the volcanic nature of the soils. And then on the palate, the wine is really sort of crisp. It's got a good level of acidity. The tannins are manageable. They're not very high, but they're definitely present. And it's not a very heavy wine in the mouth. So it drinks nicely. It's, I wouldn't say extremely light, but it drinks with a lighter touch in the mouth. And in the mouth, you get lots of characteristics, again, of those red fruit varietals, but you also get this kind of real sort of earthy, spicy character, which is really fun and interesting. I really like the wine. You know, I think that for those that are really enthusiastic about trying different varietals, getting off the beaten track, or, you know, really enthusiastic about learning more about Italy, I would really suggest having a Lacrima Christi. This particular one is fantastic. I think that this has aging potential. I would say that it could improve in the bottle, you know, if it was given time to sit for 1 to 2 years. And of course, it's not a very bad price point at all. I think it makes a nice pairing, in particular for tomato-based dishes, and so pizza, pasta, and salumi and cheese, hard cheeses, aged cheeses. It would be just beautiful with that. It's a, you know, what I'd consider to be a little bit more of a rustic wine, but it does have that sort of elegance and finesse that one would expect from, you know, a higher end producer and a better known appellation within Italy, or a better regarded appellation. I'll just point out as well that when it comes to Lacrima Christi, it's not just red wines. So if you, you know, go on a little bit of a hunt and you try to find some Lacrima Christi, you can find white wine, red wine, fortified wine, and rosé wine. So there's lots to explore there, which is really cool. And I would also suggest that for those who really like a robust Chianti, this is, to me, felt like a similar profile and could be a good alternative. Chiantis are beautiful, but sometimes it's nice to try something different. And so if you like a Chianti that's got some age, some barrel age on it, and has that kind of more dense, robust character, then I'd suggest that a Lacrima Christi would be a great alternative, particularly this one that I tried. Once again, to repeat what it is, it's the 2020 Mastro Bernardino Lacrima Christi del Vesuvio. So there you have it. Hopefully that was an introduction to a new wine. And if you know about it already, hopefully I shared some new and interesting information with you. If you have a chance to pick up this kind of wine or this particular wine, I would certainly recommend it. With that, I wish you lots of love, peace, and light, and I'll sign off for the day. Take care. Thank you for listening to the Wine It Up a Notch podcast. I hope you're enjoying the podcast thus far. Be sure to hit subscribe to be notified of future episodes, or leave a review to let me know what you think. Take care.